Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And St. Paul writes, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I've often told a story that my grandfather used to tell frequently, apparently, about himself. My grandfather was a Lutheran pastor, and many years ago, I believe back in the 1930s, was on a train, in fact, on the dining car of a train, with a number of other pastors sitting at a little table in the dining car, and they looked across the aisle, and there was a young man who was bussing tables there, cleaning off dishes and so on. And this young man apparently had kind of a different looking chin or neck or something. And these three or four pastors at their table made some funny comments to each other about this guy and how goofy he looked and so on, and kind of making a little bit of fun of him. Well, their meal came, and they bowed their heads and said their prayer. And a little while later, this same busboy happened to come back over to their table, and he leaned into their conversation and kind of quietly said to them, I just want you all to know how wonderful it is to see fellow Christians thanking their Lord before they eat. My grandpa said it's like someone stuck a knife in his heart. How we talk about people and how we speak about them to others and so on, it's easy for us to forget who we might be talking about, first of all, but also who we are as God's faithful children in this world. The story of the Good Samaritan, that is the historic text in the Gospels for this week, shows us about someone who was an outsider, a Samaritan, that came to show love and kindness and compassion and mercy toward somebody that was in need. And that story is underscored by the fact that Jesus has the principal players in it, the ones who pass by, ones who more than likely were of the same faith of this person that needed help, and it took an outsider to teach them how to treat someone. St. Paul directs the words of our text to God's faithful in this world because God is well aware of the fact that all of us can very easily forget who we are and who it might be that we're talking about. It's easy for us to go through this life and be tempted to use our mouths in a way that is destructive, sometimes even toward fellow Christians, even people who are of the same faith and baptism and Lord and gather at the same sacrament of the altar and so on. We have a natural tendency in us to pick on each other, to kind of irritate one another, to use our mouths in a way that can be a destructive force, rather than building each other up to find ways to focus in on the things that we don't like about people, and to gossip about them and so on, backbiting, speaking ill will. And this is especially destructive and harmful, Paul points out, for us inside of the Christian church. Paul wants us to not falsely assume that because our getting to heaven, our salvation, is purely by the grace of God in Christ, that somehow that means that how we live our lives and how we talk about people is irrelevant to God. Nothing could be further from the truth. God looks down in this world and loves to see his faithful reflecting his compassion and love to other people, even in how they talk. And so as we go through this life together as fellow Christians, God wants us to reflect in our lives and in our speech and conduct who we are in Christ. There are so few of us on the path to heaven. There are so few who have been called onto this path by God's grace. Let's not use our time on this earth to harm each other on that path and to pick at each other and to make fun of each other but rather to encourage one another. Paul is addressing in-house activity for the believers in Christ. There's recently, in the last 10 years or so, a phenomenon that has started to show up called cutting, where people are troubled inside to such an extent that they take knives and cut into their skin, often into their arms or legs and so on. And psychologists will tell you that this is a slight form of almost a mental illness. It's something that is so contrary to how we think. We don't want to hurt our bodies. And the same is true with the body of Christ. Why would members of the body of Christ want to hurt a fellow member in this same body? We're united. We're of the same waters in baptism. We stand in the shadow of the same cross. We're looking forward to the same heaven together. We feast at the same sacrament together. Why in the world would we want to hurt a fellow member of this body that we are in? Maybe here's a way to ask the question. This person that I'm going to talk about, or who I'm now going to address, what if I were someday to end up sitting next to him or her at the Feast of Salvation? St. Paul says, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Notice he talks about our entrance into the church as a calling. Paul's own life is the most wonderful example of that. Someone who openly attacked the faith and went out trying to stamp out Christianity, and God miraculously calls him into his kingdom. Even the fact that you and I have been called by God through the waters of baptism and through his word, that calling is likewise by his grace and by his mercy. And St. Paul is underscoring that. He's saying to each one of us, don't forget how you came into this church. Don't forget how you became connected to Christ and have been made a member of the body of Christ. It's not because of you. It's all because God had mercy and compassion. And this body of Christ that we are now in, through faith in him, this body of Christ that we are members of, has one particular focus, and that is to get to heaven. To get to heaven. When you walk around on the campus today or down the street or whatever, your eyes have to be looking ahead all the time. Now, once in a while, you need to look around to make sure you're okay too. But the real primary focus of your attention is forward. And so it is with the body of Christ. When we come in here and worship together as members of Christ's body, our focus and our attention is on where we're going. It's ahead. It's not in the past and at our sins and the troubles and problems that others cause us. With the same forgiveness we have in Christ, we put that aside and the eyes of the body look forward. It has one singular goal and purpose, that all of us together can make it finally to heaven by God's grace. And so Paul holds up for us, as we walk together in this body of Christ, Paul holds up for us the qualities that we should have in this walk. And interestingly enough, they are a perfect description of the qualities that Christ has shown each one of us. And God wants these same qualities that have made us his children and forgiven us and given us the hope of heaven that we're looking forward to. God wants those same qualities that have called us to now be heard in our speech and to be seen in how we treat one another. Just think of the sins, the types of sins that God has had to forgive in my life and in your life. Just think of the frequency of those sins. Just think of the depth of some of them. Think how long-suffering he's had to be with us. Think of all the difficulty and garbage and whining that God has had to put up with from us. Talk about long-suffering and bearing with one another. Think of how God, in his holy word, speaks about you, even though you and I are not deserving of it, speaks of us as holy citizens of heaven, saints belonging to God. You and I are the ultimate charity case from heaven's perspective. And God doesn't want us to forget that. I often wonder if my grandfather has had a chance in heaven to meet that man that he met on that train that day. As you and I go through this life as members of the body of Christ, remember how God now looks at us because of Christ. Remember your calling and how you were originally brought into this wonderful body of Christ. But most importantly, remember where we're going. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your wonderful grace toward us, calling us into your kingdom of grace. And we pray that you would cause these same qualities to be reflected in our day-to-day lives. We ask it all in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.